Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q4 and FY25 earnings conference call hosted by Dr. Agarwal Healthcare Limited. As a reminder, all clients will be on listen-only mode and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions at the end of today's presentation. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Ashna Dharia, Head Investor Relations from Dr. Agarwal's Healthcare. Thank you and over to you, ma'am.
Thank you, Ria. A very good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Dr. Agarwal's Healthcare's Q4 FY25 and FY25 earnings call. From the management side, we have Dr. Adil Agarwal, CEO, Mr. Ashad Agarwal, Chief Business Officer, Mr. Rahul Agarwal, Chief Operating Officer, and Mr. Yashwant Venkat, CFO. We have released the financial results, press release, and investor presentation, all of which are and the exchanges as well. Before we continue, we want to remind everyone that this call is being recorded and the transcript will be made available on our website afterwards. Additionally, please be aware that today's discussion may include certain forward-looking statements which should be considered in light of the risk our business faces. Please refer to the detailed statement on page 2 of the investor presentation. It is now my pleasure to hand over the call to Dr. Adil, our Chief Executive Officer, who will share his opening remarks and insights. Dr. Adil, over to you.
Thank you, Asha. Good afternoon to all of you and a warm welcome to our fourth quarter FY25 and the annual FY25 earnings call for Dr. Agarwal's Healthcare Limited. Let me begin by providing you all an update of our full year financial 25 performance and our Q4 FY25 performance. We are pleased to report a strong financial performance for the full year FY25. Our total income recorded a growth of 27.6% year-on-year to 1,757 crores and revenue from operations grew by 28.4% year-on-year to 1,711 crores. Our EBITDA increased by 23.6% to INR 502 crores, translating into an EBITDA margin of 28.6% for the year. Our profit after tax stood at 110 crores, reflecting a 16% year-on-year growth with a PAT margin of 6.3%. Revenue growth has been largely driven by addition of new facilities as well as growth in our existing facilities. This growth came through increase in premiumization of surgeries, increase in our surgical volumes, and improved surgical conversions due to our business development and marketing initiatives. Driven by strong operational execution and improvement in our material mix, our gross profit for FY25 grew 27.2% to 1,368 crores, resulting in a gross margin of 77.9%. Manpower costs for the year totaled 574 crores, up by 28.4% compared to last year. This was driven by strategic hiring and increase in our workforce due to addition of new facilities. The EBITDA margin for the year was slightly impacted by increase in other expenses, predominantly on account of increase in our marketing costs relating to our brand ambassador and one-time expenses. Now, moving on to the fourth quarter FY25, we delivered a strong financial performance in the fourth quarter with total income growing by 28.9% to INR 476 crores and revenue from operations grew by 31.9% to 460 crores. EBITDA for the fourth quarter stood at 145 crores, reflecting a growth of 13.9%, translating into an EBITDA margin of 30.8% for the quarter. PAT came in at INR 43 crores, up 3% year-on-year, reflecting a PAT margin of 8.9% for the fourth quarter. Our gross margins for the quarter were flat at 78.3% despite shift towards high-end surgeries. Our manpower costs for the quarter were INR 151 crores, 33.6% increase over the fourth quarter of the previous year. This was driven again by strategic hiring and increase in our workforce due to addition of a large number of facilities in the fourth quarter. The decline in our EBITDA margins was primarily driven by increase in certain expenses such as our IPO expenses, marketing expenses related to our brand ambassador, and a decline in other income to the tune of 8.4 crores. Now, moving on to our footprint, we have built a network of over 236 facilities, which includes 28 hubs and 208 spokes across India and Africa, serving approximately 24.3 lakh patients and performing over 2.8 lakh surgeries during the 12 months ended March 2025. In India, we operate through a network of 218 facilities spread across 14 states and four union territories covering 129 cities. Our presence is highly diversified, with 32% of our facilities located in Tier 1 cities, 60% in other cities, and 8% of our centers are located internationally in the continent of Africa. Now, during FY 2025, we added 59 facilities in this last 12 months, which comprised of 32 primary facilities, 25 secondary facilities, and two large tertiary facilities. In the fourth quarter of FY 2025 alone, we added 17 new facilities comprising of eight primary and nine secondary centers. Additionally, as on date, we have successfully already launched 10 new green facilities to date, comprising four primary, five secondary, and one tertiary center. We would also like to highlight a key milestone in our growth journey in Northern India. We have now forayed into Delhi NCR, the heart of the country, with the launch of our first greenfield facility there. We have onboarded Dr. Jeevan Tityal, who is one of the most renowned ophthalmologists in the country and was previously the head of the renowned AIIMS Institute. He's also a Padma Shri awardee and will be driving growth in our Delhi facility. Looking ahead, in FY 2026, we are targeting a launch of 55-60 facilities, with 25-30 of them being surgical facilities and the balance will be clinics. 70% of this expansion will be in our core geographies of Tamil Nadu, Andhra Pradesh, Telangana, Karnataka, and Maharashtra. Now, moving on to clinical excellence, there has been a significant focus around the firm to ensure we strive for clinical excellence while we continue to scale. This is reflected in the increase in contribution coming in from high-end cataract surgeries, which has moved up from 19.2% in FY 2024 to 22.5% in FY 2025. Further, we seek to use specialized equipment and techniques to strengthen our diagnosis capabilities as well as our surgical outcomes. We have already installed femto cataract machines, which is the laser cataract machine, in cities like Mumbai and Chennai, and have recently added these high-end machines to Bangalore and Hyderabad as well. We have also seen an uptick in the refractive surgery segment, where we witnessed a 44% overall growth in the number of surgeries, and we have done 15,989 refractive surgeries in the year FY 2025. As part of our refractive services expansion, we have also added new excimer laser machines in Chennai, Mumbai, and Bangalore. We also plan to add SMILE technology in few of our key centers, which will further enhance our refractive capabilities. Now, I would like to hand it over to our Group CFO, Mr. Yashwant Venkat, who will take a deep dive into our financial performance.
Thank you, Dr. Adil. I'll start by providing an overview of the operational metrics. In Q4 FY 2025, we performed 68,724 surgeries, resulting in a 17.4% year-on-year growth. Cataract surgeries have been the major contributor, accounting for approximately 71%, followed by refractive surgeries at around 6.5%. In Q4 FY 2025, volume of cataract and refractive surgeries have grown by approximately 13% year-on-year, while other surgeries have experienced a higher growth rate of 36.3%. The payer mix was distributed as 70% via cash, 25% through insurance and TPA, and 5% from government schemes. Now, in FY 2025, the surgical revenues form the main pillar of our service offering, contributing to over 65% to group revenue. Diagnosis, consultations, and non-surgical treatments account for 14%, while the sale of optical products and pharmacy contributes 21% to total revenues. In FY25, we performed 282,326 surgeries, reflecting a 28% YOY growth. Again, here, as reiterated earlier, cataract surgeries have been the major contributor, accounting for approximately 73%, followed by refractive surgeries at around 6%. In FY25, volume of cataract and refractive surgeries grew by approximately about 27%, while other surgeries experienced a higher growth rate of 42%. The payer mix for FY25 has remained consistent, with around 64% of payments coming through cash, 26% through insurance and TPA, and 10% from government schemes. Moving on to a few points on financial performance, the revenue from operations at India for Q4 FY25 stood at INR 413 crores, reflecting a growth of 34.2% year-on-year. Revenue from mature facilities rose by about 28.9%, totaling INR 332 crores in Q4 FY25. Just a small recap, mature facilities are those facilities which have been owned or operated by the company for more than 3 years. The gross profit margin remains stable in Q4 FY25 despite movement to higher end surgeries. There has been greater focus on India, with its contribution to the overall group revenue increasing from 87.2% in FY24 to 89.9% in FY25. Revenue from operations in India for FY25 totaled INR 1538 crores, marking a growth of 32.3% year-on-year. As of March 2025, we operate about 103 mature facilities across India and Africa. Revenue from mature facilities increased by 18.5%, reaching a total of INR 1206 crores in FY25. Our CFO to EBITDA were at healthy levels at 77%, which excludes IPO reimbursements, which we have subsequently received in this quarter. I also want to touch base on key one-off costs which occurred in FY25. There was a one-time spend for banker fees and legal fees towards a strategic acquisition totaling to about 6.2 crores. IPO costs to the tune of about 1.5 crores, brand ambassador and rated production costs to the tune of approximately about 5.5 crores, increase in ESOP expenses was to the tune of about 2 crores for the year, totaling about close to 8 crores for the year. Now, just to summarize, we are pleased to report strong financial results for FY25 driven by solid year-on-year growth across key metrics. Looking ahead, we remain confident in our growth trajectory for FY26, supported by robust demand fundamentals, continued network expansion, and operational efficiencies. We expect to clock 20% plus revenue growth in FY26, driven by strengthening presence in existing micro markets, foray into new micro markets, and increased adoption of high-end surgeries. We expect our EBITDA margin to remain stable as ongoing greenfield investments continue to impact profitability. We also expect the profit after tax numbers to rise by 35% plus.
Thank you, everyone. We'll open it up to questions now.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handset while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. First question is from the line of Tushar Manudhane from Motilal Oswal Financial Services. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. Sir, just comparing FY 2025 and 2024 payer mix, so to say, the cash component seems to have, you know, increased sort of meaningfully compared to insurance and TP. Any broad color you would like to share on this aspect?
Yeah. So I'm just gonna invite our Chief Operating Officer, Rahul Agrawal, to give you a breakup of the payer.
Okay. Hi, this is Rahul. Well, from an overall perspective, there's not been a significant change. The year before we were around 27%, this year at 26% from an overall perspective. If you look at our private insurances, and the government, first let me go to the government. Government last year was 10.7%, which this year has come down to 10%. On the other insurance and TPA, overall from 10.3%, it's down to 26%. So broad, at overall level, we are, you know, continuing. Our private insurances continue to be very strong. That's where a large part of our growth comes to happen. On the government side, we continue to remain slightly cautious. Some of the payments get delayed. We want to be cautious on those sides, in some of the states where some payments get delayed. Otherwise, broadly across India, our insurances remain consistent.
No, in fact, cash component has, you know, would have shown maximum growth almost from, as a percentage of sales as well, from 60.7% to 63.8%, or even in absolute terms, from 808 crore to 1,092. So is it more to do with getting into the tier two cities, is that what is driving the cash component? Is that the appropriate way to think about this?
No, not really. I think the way to look at this is, in some cases, our products don't get insurances. So the product business, when that grows, that is not under insurance. Consultancy fees is not under insurance. Some of these aspects, when they grow, will not see insurances. Some part of the investigation also does not come under insurance. Actually, the surgical business also, yeah, refractive product not be under insurance. So these parts, when they're growing, some of the new technologies, like when we talk about femto cataract, these are growing very fast. That is also not under insurance. So, you know, you'll see a lot of these portions of the business growing very fast, and that's percentage of the business which doesn't get covered, and that is this. Otherwise, as I mentioned earlier, the government business, where we are slightly cautious, that also contributes to the private business growing faster.
Understood. So secondly, just on number of facilities which sort of intend to add in FY 2026 on organic basis-
Right.
Subsequent amount of investment for that, which you could share.
Sure. So in FY 2025, we added 59 new centers. Our plan is to add about 55 new centers in FY 2026. Now, in FY 2025, we spent a total CapEx of about 220 crore towards new greenfields and eye clinics as well, right? The plan is to spend approximately 310 crore, and most of this will be around setting up new centers across the country. 70% of these new centers will come up in the southern states of India, along with Maharashtra.
Sir,
310, right?
The CapEx number mentioned by Dr. Adil, I'll just give you a slightly detailed breakup. About 180-200 crore will be towards new greenfield CapEx. Renovation and relocation will be about close to 50 crore. Then, we are also investing in new technology and growth CapEx for the existing set. That will be to the tune of about 40-45 crore. Then maintenance CapEx for existing facilities, which were close to about 11 crore last year, that number will move to close to about 16 crore this year. So broad breakup of the Sarguja.
Understood. Thanks, sir. That's it from my side. And just one last, if I may.
Yeah.
So this brand ambassador-related cost, how much of that came in fourth quarter of FY 2025? And subsequently in FY 2026, shall this be considered as the one-off for FY 2025, and then the amount is going to be relatively lesser in FY 2026? Or this is something which will sort of have a recurring cost going forward?
Okay. I'll just break this cost up into two parts, Tushar. One is for the brand ambassador. Second is for the production cost for the two ads. The brand ambassador cost is close to about 8 crores plus GST, plus the production cost will be to the tune of about 5.5 crores. This brand ambassador cost is for a period of close to about 2 years. A portion of that has been taken in, say about 50% has already been taken in FY25. We will not have any recurring production costs. So you can consider this production cost as a one-time hit to the P&L, Tushar.
And out of that, how much was for fourth quarter in specific?
Fourth quarter towards the brand ambassador, it was close to about 1.2 crores. I'll come back to you on the exact platform for the production cost.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Binay Singh from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Hi, Binay.
Hi, team. Congrats on good set of numbers. Just a follow-up from the earlier question. Could you also give us what is the capex that your subsidiary is doing and between this number of capex that you gave? How much is at the subsidiary level? The Dr. Agarwal Eye Hospital?
Sure. Basically,
this capex, whatever we have mentioned, Binay, just include the newer facilities which will be taking it up for the subsidiary. This excludes the capex requirements for the new flagship facility. Out of this 310 crores, nearly about close to 60 crores will be towards the subsidiary AEHL. On top of this, for the new flagship facility, we'll be spending around close to about 70 to 80 crores.
Okay, so in a way at the subsidiary level, the capex is 60 crores plus 70 crores, 130 crores at the subsidiary level. Is that right understanding?
Out of the 310, 60 crores will be for growth capex plus newer greenfields. The additional 70 crores will be over and above this 310 crores, which will be spending for the flagship facility, Tushar.
Okay. So at the subsidiary level, just like in their books, the capex is 70 crores at the subsidiary level.
Yes. Yeah.
And then secondly, could you also give us a breakdown on minority interest? We've seen a quite sharp jump. And also linked to that, the Thind financials, you know, because we had talked about March quarter being very big for Thind. How, because it seems like it was exceptionally large for them.
Yeah, so from a PAT perspective, approximately 76% of the earnings is attributable to the owners and the remaining 24% is towards the minorities. That's predominantly because the Thind facility that we acquired last year, it's a 51-49 JV and 49% of that contributes to about 10.96 crores of PAT. So that is significantly driven the minority earnings. So that's why you're seeing a bit of that skew, which is 76-24.
So Thind had a 10.9 crore of PAT this quarter, March quarter.
Correct. No, we're talking about the year.
Yes.
Full year.
This is for the year.
FY25.
Okay, so 10.9 crore for the whole year for Thind.
Yes.
Okay, and lastly, just on slide 19, where we've given revenue per mature facility, if you just look at the annual trend of that number, it was growing around 15% YOY. Last year, the revenue per mature facility has grown at around 7% YOY. So earlier it was 22, 15, 7. So if any thoughts on how to look at this number, because, you know, like we've seen sort of 15 coming down to 7.
Are you talking about the mature facilities growth?
Yeah, the revenue per mature facility, which is slide 19, the number we've given, which was
so
around 10.9.
About 11.7 crores. That's what you're referring to, right?
Yeah. So this number last year per facility grew by around 7%, you know, from 10.9 to 11.7. Earlier it was growing almost 15-16%. So is there any change we've seen or any thoughts on that number coming down from mid?
Understood. I will ask. I request 6 to. Yeah, I got it. I just requested. Yeah.
2 points, Vinay. One is on pinned. Whatever 10.9 crore number which you mentioned, it is a 49% number. The overall PAT generated from TIND is close to about 21.5 to 22 crores. One. Second, on the point on average revenue per mature facility, we faced some headwinds in a few of our facilities in Africa. So if we have to break down the average revenue per mature facility, at India level, it is close to about 15%, but in Africa, it was flattish. So, and in fact, few of the facilities had slight degrowth as well due to currency impact. So that is why the average revenue per mature facilities is looking at close to about 8%.
Oh, that's very good. So that's a very good number then at the India level. Sorry, yes, just on minority interest, could you just give me a breakdown like the 100 crore minority interest, that, sorry, 10 crore minority interest that you reported for the quarter? What is the breakdown between Thind, Aditya Jyoth and any other, just on that number? Just last one. Thanks.
Yeah, I'll come back to you on that. Just one more point on the mature facility, average revenue per mature facility part, Vinay. Point to note here is, few of the facilities which we started in FY21-22 were primary care facilities, and those facilities also, as you know, the primary care facilities ramp up cannot be compared with the surgical facilities. So those facilities have also been added to the mature facility bucket. So that is also one more reason for the slight dip in the average revenue per mature facility. Probably going forward, we will publish it as average revenue per mature surgical facility, average revenue per mature facility in India. That would be the right way to look at things, Abhinay. On your question on the breakup, on Q4,
yeah.
PAT from TIND was to the tune of 5.28 crores, which is the minority number. I'll come back to Rini.
Great. Thanks, team. Thanks.
Yeah.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Alankar Garude from Kotak Institutional Equities. Please go ahead.
Hi, Alankar. Good afternoon, everyone. Hi, sir. Sir, firstly, can you broadly divide the 55 center additions for FY26 across primary, secondary, and tertiary?
Sure. Hi, Alankar ji. Good afternoon. Out of 55 facilities, about 30 would be surgical facilities. In this 30 surgical facilities, 27 would be secondary facilities. We are looking at opening three tertiary care facilities. The rest 25 would be primary facilities, Alankar.
Understood, sir. Thank you. Sir, the other one was, if I look at CFO to EBITDA, you have given that in the PPT as well. If you look at the number for FY24, it's 85% and it's 72% in FY25. You spoke about the IPO reimbursements. So even if you adjust for that, that number is down to 77% in FY25 versus 85% in FY24. So first is, what has driven the higher working capital in FY25? And maybe secondly, are there any other factors which you would like to highlight which have impacted the operating cash flow?
Sure, Alankar. This year, with us opening more primary care facilities and also opening facilities in tier 2 and tier 3 markets, the inventory levels also have gone up slightly. So if you discount for that, this 77% would have been actually at close to about 80%. So 3% impact we had because of increase in inventory levels, one. Second is in terms of receivables, again, receivables also had an impact of close to about 2%. In terms of payables, and especially the last two quarters, we had continuously increased in paying out our key vendors. So there was an impact of close to about 1%. So if you adjust for all the, these three points, the number would have stood at close to about 83%, Alankar. In terms of any other challenge as far as cash flow from operations, we didn't see any other kind of challenge as far as the cash flow from operations go, Alankar.
Understood. That's helpful. So basically the number to look at going forward is more in that 80-85% range. And even the 77% was a bit of, really impacted by some of the factors you mentioned.
80% would be quite a comfortable number because again there will be significant growth as far as the newer facilities are also getting opened in some of the smaller markets. So definitely 80% will be the right number.
Got it. And a couple of bookkeeping ones. One is what was the rental payout, cash payout in FY25? And secondly, what was the share of minority in the console EBITDA? You spoke about PAT, but if you could help on EBITDA as well, it would be helpful.
So what? Can you just repeat your first question, Alankar? What was the first question?
So the first one was on the rental payouts in FY25.
Total rent, total what we paid out for rent, is it?
It is to the tune of 110 crores, Alankar, as per the rental payouts go. On minority adjustment on EBITDA, just give us a minute, we'll give you the numbers.
Yeah, Alankar, we'll come back to you on that data for the minority interest pick up on EBITDA.
Sure, sir. Great. That's it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you, Alankar.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Gautam Rajesh from Everflow Partners. Please go ahead.
Hi, Gautam. Hi, sir. Good evening. Thank you for the opportunity. My first question was, what sort of acquisition multiples have we paid historically for acquisitions that we have done in terms of EBITDA? Do these continue to be operated in the name of the doctor or the name of Dr. Agarwal? And does the original doctor stay on board or transition out?
So our acquisition multiples from an EV EBITDA perspective were anywhere between 8 to 10x, other than a couple of outliers where it either gone above that or less than that, the typical range has been between 8 to 10 times EBITDA. Now, typically what we do in many of these acquisitions is, firstly, what is important is the partner continues to stay on in the business because the business revolves around the partner. So the doctor partner whom we acquire continues to stay on in the business. In terms of branding, we do something which you call a joint branding. So what we do is if the doctor has a particular name, like suppose we have a center called Soham Eye Care, it is called Soham Eye Care jointly with Dr. Agarwal's Eye Hospital. That's how we do the branding. Or another scenario, what we do is we call the hospital Dr. Agarwal Eye Hospitals and we call out the doctor partner's names. So there are two typical models that we bring out. But over a period of time, what we aspire to do is we try to convert all the branding into the Dr. Agarwal Hospital brand. And that's eventually something which we tell the partners that for a period of 4 years, we will convert all your hospitals into Dr. Agarwal Eye Hospital brands.
Understood. My next question was, what portion of the revenue comes from the laser operation, let's say optical corrective surgeries?
You're talking about what is the revenue mix between services and
what
products?
Portion, yeah, for laser operations, like optical correction.
So overall, from a this thing, surgeries contribute to about 65.3% of revenues. The sales of products and services, which includes optical products and pharmacy products, contribute to about 20.8%. And about another 14% comes from diagnosis and consultations.
He had a question on refractive. Lactic, I think, was your question, Gautam, if I'm not wrong. On the refractive contribution is close to about 5.7%.
5.7% for the year, right?
Yes.
How are some of the older centers doing in terms of SSG? You mentioned Africa is fairly flat to negative, but what about the older centers, like older mature centers? in terms
of that. Yeah, request Mr. Rahul to give on the older mature centers.
So historically, if you see, our older centers have been growing at around 15-16%. Even for this year, we've grown by almost 14% from a SSSG perspective, which is a like-to-like centers. We've grown by around 14%. It's been slightly lower, but a broad range of 15% is what we try and look at.
Understood. And sir, I have missed the earlier question on what was your rental payment for FY25?
110 crores.
Close to about 110 crores. This doesn't include any short-term rents, Gautam.
Short-term
rent, all of that is not included. This 110 crores is the pure pay rent which we are paying across facilities.
Okay. This was how much last year, sir?
One second. Last year, this number was around 92.5 crores.
92.5 crores. Thank you, sir. All the best.
Yeah.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Dishant Jain from Quasar Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity, sir, and congratulations to put up numbers. A couple of questions. First, sir, what will be the revenue potential of that cathedral facility that you're going to have?
Which you're talking about the subsidiary?
So in the subsidiary.
How much is the
revenue potential?
Revenue potential. Okay, so this year we have done a revenue of close to about 120 crores. We expect that center to grow at about 35% year on year once the fully constructed building is up and ready.
So that building is already on the board?
We're talking about that particular facility when it's up and running. We should expect that center to do approximately 30% year on year once the center is up and running.
30% up and okay. So sorry, sir, I'm not able to understand.
So approximately 30%, you'll see an uptick in revenue once the new facility is up and running.
Okay. And sir, there is a 18.5 crores cost that we have paid for some business and subsidiary company for FY25.
Okay.
Hello, am I audible?
Yeah.
So I was asking that we have paid around 18.5 crores for some business acquisition in the subsidiary company.
Okay, got it. Let me explain.
Yeah.
In the subsidiary, actually, we acquired a premium practice in Chennai by named iDocs Eye Hospital. We had paid 18 crores to the tune for completing that acquisition. That practice is actually led by a very star retina doctor who is currently heading our retina practice at the main facility as well.
Okay. And sir, on the last question, I just missed the volume numbers for Q4. So can you please repeat it again?
So what is the question?
Volume numbers for Q4.
Yeah. In Q4, we performed 724 surgeries, in which cataract was the main contributor, accounting for about approximately 71%, followed by refractive surgeries at around 6.5%. In Q4, the volume of cataract and refractive surgeries grew by about close to 13%, while the other surgeries experienced a higher growth rate of close to 36%.
Okay. Thank you for answering all the questions. Wish you all the best.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Harshil Seth from Autotech International Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes.
Yeah, hi. So just wanted to understand, like, what are your plans for the merger of the subsidiary Dr. Agarwal Eye Hospital? And secondly, also would want to understand, like, since you don't conduct the concourse for the subsidiaries, you just wanted to understand, like, where exactly it is more focused, like Dr. Agarwal's healthcare, you know, it's across all over India, but then what part of the country is Dr. Agarwal's Eye Hospital?
Sure. So I'll take the second part of the question first. Dr. Agarwal's Eye Hospital Limited, which is the oldest subsidiary which was listed in 1994, that predominantly continues to operate all the facilities based out of Tamil Nadu. Although the other company, Dr. Agarwal's Healthcare Limited, has a few facilities based out of Tamil Nadu, but all the new expansion in the state of Tamil Nadu over the last 1.5 years has been happening only in the listed subsidiary. And any new further expansion, along with the large capex which we are investing in our flagship facility, all of that will happen only in the listed subsidiary. Now, coming to the merger of both the entities, we had already disclosed in the DRHP that we plan to do the merger of the listed sub with the holdco in an outer span of 3 years. That said, we are speaking to the bankers right now to decide on which bank we're going to go with, and we will soon have some news for you around the merger. Our plan is to get that done as soon as possible.
Okay, so just want to understand, so what you meant was that the hospitals that are run in the state of Tamil Nadu, that all are run under Dr. Agarwal's
outside of the state of Tamil Nadu, which is Karnataka, Andhra Pradesh, Telangana, okay. Maharashtra, Punjab, all that happens in the holdco, which is Dr. Agarwal's Healthcare Limited, including Africa.
Which happened,
sorry,
actually
your
voice is not clear.
Like,
repeat it once.
So all the expansion outside of the state of Tamil Nadu, any new centers,
expansion
in the holding company, which is Dr. Agarwal's Healthcare Limited.
Okay, got it.
So there is a clear there's a geographical distinction between where we open any new center.
Okay, got it. So like any new center that are being opened outside Tamil Nadu, that is like that comes under the holding company, and the other which are the new facilities that you know you might open in Tamil Nadu, that comes under Dr. Agarwal's Eye Hospital. Is it correct?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you. That's it from my side.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all participants, you may press star and one to ask questions. A reminder to all participants, you may press star and one to ask questions. As there are no further questions, on behalf of Dr. Agarwal Healthcare Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.
Thank you very much.